Hello, my beautiful bestie. How you doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I'm much better now that I see you.
It has been a freaking minute. A long minute.
Yeah, I never really got that saying because I'm too literal. But like, it's just been too long. Too long. I'm craving our time together.
Me freaking too. Me too.
But we're still faucety.
What was it? Oh, yeah. I feel bad for everyone listening right now. I'm so congested. I feel like absolute garbage, honestly.
I feel like the minority are people who actually feel good right now.
I know. No, it's like going around like rampant right now, regardless of if you have like kids in daycare or not. Like everyone is literally sick right now.
Yes.
And it's just on repeat. I don't think I've been this sick this often, even last year.
Like what the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's crazy, but. Oh, at least we're here. Yes. We're not feverish, which like, I'll take that. Last week, I was definitely, you were literally feverish. Yeah. I feel like I've crossed that bridge of not like, you feel okay. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, you feel that fever feeling. I'd honestly rather take this like massive sinus pressure and congestion over that, because at least like you can kind of power through.
Still hard. It's still hard, very hard. But yeah, it knocked me out.
Tell me more about this last week. I know you dove into it in your solo episode, which thank you so much for taking that on for us. So appreciative to get at least a little something out with if we can, we will.
That's it, baby. If we can, we will. But yeah, it's we're going on a week now because we got hit first with the flu, my husband and I, and then the kids, both kids got it. And I'm like, whoa, that was a week ago? Like the past week? Like I'm starting to like, I don't know, go a little crazy.
Literally though. I mean, that's a lot, because also when you're sick, remove the kid aspect of it. When you're sick in general, you really look forward to feeling better so that you can like, okay, let me get organized here, fresh start and whatnot, and as you said on the last episode. But then when your kids get sick afterwards, or vice versa, they're sick and then you're like, okay, they'll get back to school, and then you don't feel good. It's that aftershock. It's just brutal, because you're like, oh my god, when was the last time what we could just stick to the routine, or like just wake up, get out of the house, all work, I feel good.
Yeah, it feels foreign at this point, and I feel like it'll still be a little bit of time before we get back to that, but slowly but surely here we are. I go back to what I said at the very beginning of this year, like the small moments make up the big moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to stay grounded in that even during this time of like, I feel like I'm in a literal haze. I'm like, wait, I haven't left this house. Like,
except
it's just
to go to
crazy.
Doctor's appointments.
Literally to get swabbed myself, to bring the boys to get swabbed, to pick up a prescription. Grateful for our village to pick up, you know, other things that we've needed. But like, whoo, you start to go a little bit loopy doopy.
I was honestly talking about that this morning, just in the realm of like in general. I've been feeling extremely overstimulated. Mm-hmm. My patience has been like super thin. And it's been in conjunction with being sick for sure.
Yeah.
But also I'm just feeling like a raw nerve, honestly. Mm-hmm. And not in like, oh, she's on the verge of a meltdown. Like I'm just like pissy. Like I'm just pissy. I don't have patience. We're done. And there is a full moon. So like, I think that has something to do with it.
For sure.
PSA. But I was literally sitting thinking, when was the last time I went out or did something just for me? And like not maintenance, not a nail appointment, which recognize for a lot of people right now listening, including yourself, that would be a moment like for you that you haven't carved out. Like, but for me, it's maintenance, like in my life of whatever, how I bucket things. And I realized that like I literally can't, I think the last time I did something unattached to my daughter, my family, was like December 19th.
It's a long time.
It's February 12th today, 11th.
I'll round that. I'm not a math person, but I'll say that's a 2 month period of time.
And it was a quick dinner after work. Like, it wasn't like a big thing, and it was great. It was perfect. I saw my girlfriends, and the point is, I don't know the last time it's been that long. And despite being sick and it being the winter and everything, like, I think carving out space to really reflect on, like, okay, when's the last time you actually took a moment for yourself? You, like, connected with friends. Again, not just, like, a nail appointment. Go get a pedicure. That's great if you can squeeze that in. But, like, really removed yourself and filled up your cup.
Yes.
And I think I've been living under this, like, illusion of, like, that because I get out of the house, like, to go to work twice a week. Like, I work 5 days a week, seven sometimes. but get to commute. That, like, oh, well, I'm getting out of the house. But, like, that isn't it. I'm commuting to Manhattan. It's 4 hours of commuting, and then I'm going into an office and I'm working. Plus the mental gymnastics around getting out of the house to go do that, arranging the childcare, the dog care, the pickup, the drop, all the things. So once I am feeling better, whenever that time comes and we have gotten through the aftershock, I really need to be intentional about, like, just doing something, like planning something, doing something.
Yes.
Because that's, like, too long.
It's too long, and it does start to dwindle, like, your internal spirit a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know we were joking when we said this the other day, but you said something that made me chuckle. Like, I think I have existential dread with a cough.
No, literally. Like,
it resonated. And, like, we're very positive people, and, like, we see all the things and all the sides. But, like, I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of time that we do get for us to fill up our sparkly, shiny pink cups.
Totally. Totally.
Unrelated, but kind of related.
Yeah,
actually, no, it is related. Because I feel I hate that I'm so solution oriented sometimes, because in these conversations, sometimes, like, you just need to sit with this content of, like, what we're talking about, you know? But a solution in my head of, like, okay, I'm feeling, like, stuck, right? Like, I haven't been able to leave, whatever. Today, I was actually drawing with my little guy, and I had my own piece of paper that I was creating, my own artwork. Mm-hmm. And I used to doodle. I used to make these, like, crazy doodles. I don't know if I've ever told you that.
No.
And I used to write, like, hidden messages or hidden names in them. They're, like, honestly, they're really good.
Cool.
I'll show you a picture.
For some and of I, them, like, notes to Ryan.
Oh, 100%. Yes. And, like, again, really good. Not to toot my horn, but they were good. And I started doing that this morning, and I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, I kind of got that, like, a little sparkle. And I was like, I can 100%. Still figure out ways to do that within the confines of what you're given.
Oh, I mean, exactly. And you have to. You literally have to. Sometimes for me, it's just, like, disassociating in those moments and going somewhere else.
As you should. Know? As should. You should.
Doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying and sitting in that moment with my daughter and having a great time. But sometimes you, like, click back in. You're like, whoa, where did I just go?
Exactly. That's why I love reading books with them, because I'm going to pop in and out and ask some questions here and there, but sometimes just going to go on autopilot and read, but be somewhere else in my head.
Oh, we've all been there. We have all been there. Well, I'm glad that it seems like we're turning a corner, and that on the other side of this corner, we should be seeing each other this weekend.
We sure should, and we will. We will
be attached to our families, and that is 50% of what the stuff will be and the event will be, and that will be amazing. And it'll be so great to parent together and be in it, and the husbands are going to join us, which is so great. And also, it'll just be us for a time too, which is going to be so nice.
That's filling up our cups.
It sure is. So, germs, you are halted. You are stopped right here and now. You get through what you need to get through, and then we're seeing each other this weekend.
That is for stinking sure. I don't think we can contract anything else in this home.
Honestly, if we can, like, who cares? And don't you dare say that, actually. The knocking last thing we need wood. Is both of our families getting norovirus while sleeping over at your house.
It would make for a great podcast episode next week.
Fabulous content.
Yeah, yeah. We'll roll with it. We'll roll with it. Whatever we get. Oh, man. But anyway, this has been so nice already. I've just been missing you. I've been craving to talk to you about so many things. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited today that we have a What to Expect episode because it's been a long time coming.
It really has. We are taking on labor and delivery today as one of our hallmark What to Expect episodes. Is that the right way to use hallmark?
Heck yeah.
Great. Before we get into truth, no lies, do you want to give a high level what to expect for anyone that might be new and what our intention is with these What to Expect episodes?
Absolutely. So everyone knows the book, What to Expect When Expecting. I remember someone got it for me. And yes, that was great to read and have from like a factual perspective. But I felt like there were so many things that surfaced that I was like, wait, no. This is actually what to expect. Like, why didn't anybody tell me about this? So that's really like the ethos of this Hallmark series, as you said, Mel, of like, we want to take on different aspects of what to expect in the baby universe. Everything from labor and delivery that we're taking on today to baby sleep, which we skimmed the surface of with Alicia McCarthy, the baby sleep guru, and we absolutely have to have her back on to talk even more with her. And then feeding is another bucket of that, just going into a fed baby is best, no matter what that looks like. So we, again, high level took on what to expect babies like a couple of months ago. So definitely go back there if you haven't listened to that yet. And then this is another great place to come after that.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. And when I think we did a what to expect on those three buckets you just mentioned, right?
Yes.
And
yep.
We were like, this is just skimming the surface and we'll dive deeper in. So this is the second installment of diving deeper in.
Yeah. We love to dive deep if you can't tell.
Yeah. I mean, it's the purpose, right? Like, what are we doing? We're diving deep. We're going in. But before we get there, before we get into all the labor and delivery, let's do two truths and a lie.
Amazing. Do you want to go first, my dear?
Mine is, yeah, I can go first. It's a kind of a segue. I mean, okay. Maybe, yeah, I think it's kind of a segue. So if yours is not.
It's like, not.
All right. So let's have you go first. And then
amazing. Yeah, it's not. You know that I love a good segue, mm-hmm. But we didn't go there this week again. I'm in quite a fog.
I love it.
I've also been on a pop culture kick. And again, I'm so craving to download all of that. But my two truths, no lie, kind of skims the surface of where my brain has been the past week. I caught up finally on The Real Housewives of New York City, the newest season. Did you watch it?
I did not. I saw the last one. I haven't seen the new one. Is it the same crew?
So it's the same crew from last season.
It is. Okay.
But it's the newer New York City crew.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Like second season of the new year. Okay.
Yeah. Like Jenna Lyons, yep. Bryn, Erin, you know, all those, mm-hmm. those girlies. So I loved finishing it up. And then I was like, oh, I got the reunion now. Again, I was in that mode. Like I couldn't focus on anything, but I could focus on someone else's drama, like with an A+ mindset and effort sort of thing, you know?
100%.
So I'm watching the reunion and at the very end, one of the characters, one of the people on the show, drops a two truths, no lies, and is like, they both can exist. And I was like, A, this is amazing, like, that this is being brought up and talked about. But it was such a good one that I also wanted to bring it up here. Essentially, without giving any, like, drama spoiler alerts away, the person said, words are important and actions are also important.
Yes.
Both oh my God, I love exist. That. Yes. And
who
said
it?
So Jenna Lyons is definitely like the spearheader of like providing this like window of clarity for Bryn, who was a tornado of a individual over the season. I'm giving a little bit too much away. I'm like tiptoeing. I don't want to share too much, but it was so great. And she's like, both can exist. Both are true. And Brynn essentially was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that both can exist. Like, it was just really, it was great.
Say it one more time.
Words are important and actions are important. Like, they're both important.
Yeah, 100%. You know? I think in the context of drama, you usually hear one being weighted more than the other, usually, like, in a reactive way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, you said this, but then you did that, or, you know, vice versa. But, like, they're both of equal importance, right?
Totally.
Is that kind of the context? Or
yeah. You know, it's funny now that I'm, like, recalling it. I'm having a vulnerable moment right now. Okay. I'm not sure that this was the actual two truths, two lies that was said.
Oh,
I know that
this
there
is
was
what you're taking.
This was what my I remember, like, again, like, whipping out my phone and writing this down.
Yeah,
because I think my take, and I'm gonna have to go is back and watch it.
Likely, yeah. Okay.
My take is that there's a two truths, no lies here. Words are important, and actions are also very important.
100%.
I think what was said was words speak or actions speak louder than words, or
yes,
something like that.
Yes.
And I took that, but that doesn't negate. They also said something and they were like, both are true. Both can exist. And I now need to know what that was.
Well, you can come and report back, but I think it's a really great way to frame that, because the sentiment of action speaking louder than words, we've all known situations in that. It's basically saying, like, you need to make sure that your actions are in alignment with your intentions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right.
They're both important.
They are. Yeah. And maybe one speaks louder than the other. Okay. I'm not going to say that they don't, but I feel like that automatically puts one down, and you have to start with words first and then have 100%. The action come along with it too.
100%.
So anyway, and now I'll go fact check what they said.
Please.
And report back next
week.
Yeah. Two truths, no lies. Melissa Rose, your turn.
Okay. So my guys, I just went on a full tangent and then was like, forget it. I just started talking and was like, you know what? Let's just cut, because, like, I don't have the energy to finish the story.
And that's where we're at right now,
folks. That's where we're at right now. Okay, two truths and lies. So I had a shocking revelation. Shocking.
I can't wait to hear more.
It was kind of like there's before this moment in my life and after this moment in my
life. Oh, my God, like a BCE situation.
Correct.
Okay, go.
B. A B B. No, B A A B.
Oh, okay. B. So ba ab.
Maybe. Okay.
Okay. Go.
So, anyone that knows me knows that, like, I identify as being type A. We talk about it all the time on the pod.
All the time.
I am type A.
Proud of it.
Proud to be a part of that community. This might not be news to most people around me, but it is to me. I actually think I'm type B.
Wait. Roll it back. What do you mean? And wait, can we actually define type B?
We can, actually. I can pull it up here. I can actually pull it up right now, because I did some research.
Oh, she comes with facts.
I do, because I was like, could this be right? And like any revelation and true, like, moment upon embarking on critical research of the time, this was stemmed from a reel on Instagram where someone was just talking about how she's a type B parent, and she was just did this, like, video of her doing things throughout the house, and it was like a little skit, and I was like, am I type B?
But is that, like, does that sit next to, like, the let them theory?
It does actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to define this more in the concept of the two truths, no lies. I think is kind of where we'll run with this, right? So my two truths, no lies, and then we'll dive into type B. But my two truths, no lies is being type A has served me in creating structure, achieving goals, staying on top of everything in different phases of my life and currently, right, in when I can. And being type B and shifting to this type B season of my life has served me in, like, surrendering to the unpredictability, finding joy in the mess and being able to let things go, and giving myself grace to literally just be sometimes. And while it doesn't always look one way or the other, I think inheriting and attaching to this feeling of like, I am type A. So then when I am not behaving in a type A way, I feel like I'm out of alignment, kind of back to what you were saying before with your two truths and lies, with like who I am.
Yeah.
And yes, it makes you feel like, oh my God, like, and you have to make excuses for it or concessions, or maybe it's my time of the month. Maybe it's because I'm sick. Maybe it's the moon, or maybe I'm just leaning into this type B season of life where I've realized that like I don't have the capacity to fully be type A around the clock. I don't. Yes. And maybe shifting to type B is actually a strength that I've been able to establish in like letting go of some of those things that I don't have the capacity to be great at right now.
Wow, Mel, this is a shocking revelation.
It's a shocking revelation. And again, I did some research and kind of dove into a little bit of like, and again, this is segues into labor and delivery because it goes into this concept of control. Yes. and things like that. And I remember when I was pregnant and expecting, anytime that things would kind of throw me for a loop, my mom would always be like, this is preparing you for motherhood. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. like you are soon going to learn how little control you have.
Yeah.
And we've always had very little control. But when you are navigating less things and responsible for less things, it's easier to kind of convince yourself you do.
Yeah.
And there's this concept with the birth plan or your hospital bag and what to pack, or just hyper focusing on all these things that are important. And our job is not to sit here to make be like, as moms, like, that's unimportant.
No.
We hear you and we feel you and we've sat in your shoes and may sit in your shoes again and equally feel the weight of that. And you don't have control over a lot of it.
Most of it.
Yeah. Majority of it.
Yeah.
So taking this as kind of a lesson of like, wow, maybe that type B side of me is actually the greatest gift I could be giving myself right now and others, as like, hey, as a recovering people pleaser, as a recovering perfectionist, letting go of things could actually be the best thing for you and not just surrendering to failure.
Wow. Now this changes the game a little bit. It's almost like a coping mechanism because mm-hmm. it's not like you're completely ruling out someone that a type A you identify. Like
yeah.
sometimes you're going to use your type A mm-hmm. and then sometimes your type B is there when you need it. Mm-hmm. It's a coping skill. It's a coping strategy. It's a coping mechanism and a gift.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's my formal submission to punt this to its own episode to talk about the difference between type A and type B. And like maybe we could create some sort of exercise over like understanding the two and where you fall, maybe like on a scale. I have to do some more research, but in my preliminary research and understanding these two and how they can kind of coexist, I was literally floored and got goosebumps like reading my ChatGPT output. Because I was like, holy shit, this is a real thing. And I think we need to talk about it more. So
yes. Wow. Okay. Formally submitted. Can't wait to dive deeper.
Me too.
And I think it also goes back to like the language of the things in my control versus the things out of my control. Mm-hmm. I even find like, again, bring it to like here and now, knowing that like there are many things that are not in control in my current, you know, space. I find that I'm like, oh, but I can control making this pie a little neater. Or I can control like moving the water bottles all to one place. Like that feels good, right? But like knowing that you need to relinquish certain things too. And that's more of like the type B as a coping skill or coping strategy.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Well, thank you for enlightening me as always. And I do think that is a perfect segue into labor and delivery and what to expect because your reframe, especially the before birth planning. And you brought this up on the initial episode of like, it's not a birth plan. It's a
birth suggestion.
Exactly. I love that.
Because it is. Mm-hmm. I think we talk about all the time Dr. Becky's incredible language around emotional vaccination.
Yeah.
And that's like the foundation of what to expect. Period, right? Like to emotionally vaccinate you and help you feel more equipped and prepared. particularly going into labor and delivery, like anything you can do, or even having a baby period,
yep,
anything you can do to emotionally vaccinate yourself is valuable.
Yes.
Whatever that looks like for you. So if having a birth plan makes you feel more safe and secure and supported and in alignment with your partner and your healthcare practitioners, like, you should absolutely lean into that. However, no, you do not have control over the unexpected, and be rooted in your number one goal, whatever that is. For me, it was a happy and healthy baby and a happy and healthy mom.
Yep.
I had everything I thought I knew I wanted to do and knew I wanted it to look like and feel like. And that might not go to plan.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that birth plan but making it a suggestion.
Yes. And that's like applying type A to create the birth plan.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that the application and the implementation of the birth plan is where you have to leverage the type B. Let them. This is a suggestion. It's going to play out differently than what you're picturing. Mm-hmm. Because you just don't know. But really that goal in mind, whatever that looks like for you, have that lead the way. Your goal was the same as my goal.
And I think it's, if you really take a step back, likely the majority of people's goals, right?
Yeah, I can't really think of any rebuttal to that.
Yeah. I think a lot of times there's other things that can – noise that can fill the room on, like, what that needs to look like. And we can kind of get lost on the primary goal of that delivery or of that room, whether in hospital or your home or whatever it might be.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
We I think especially – this is a total generalization, but I think when it's your first too, because I think there's just so much time to think and plan. And speaking for myself and others like you, I don't want to speak for you, but like my type A friends, where it's like hyper-focusing on something gives us something to think about.
Yeah.
And I can control that. I can control how many copies of my birth plan I print out and like all of, you know, whatever it might be. So in terms of our three buckets today, we're going to go in, which I don't know if we fully said, but it's the before, the during, and the after.
Beautiful.
That is the main thing here with your birth plan, it being a birth suggestion in terms of thinking of our befores. Now, what other things can we talk about high level when it comes to the before?
I think before, it was super helpful to learn actually like what is happening to my body. Mm-hmm. When I'm going into like active labor, even pre-labor, and then active labor, and then delivery, because physiologically, your body is going through a lot of changes in a very short amount of time. That's not talking about pregnancy. This is just talking about labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. So yes, your body's going through insane amounts of changes within the 40-week gestational period, but specifically with labor and delivery, I found it really helpful to know what was actually going to happen. So when it was happening, I wasn't like, oh, this is new and weird. Like, of course, it's going to feel new and weird. But I was like, oh, I remember reading about that. Some people don't want to know, and that's totally great for them. But I think in the before bucket, that was in there for me.
I couldn't agree more. The anatomy of it all was super empowering, and knowing that this is what's supposed to happen, and this is what you can expect to happen. At the rate at which it does and how it does might be different. Are you induced? Are you going in naturally? Like, is it a doctor physically doing this part, or is it happening on its own? Like your water breaking, or, you know, your cervix softening, and all of these different things.
Yeah.
I took a class, which I think I mentioned on the first episode, with someone who I went to high school with, who's incredible. She was a labor and delivery nurse for, I think, like 10 years.
It's amazing.
And then became a certified midwife. And she is incredible. And we did a birthing class over Zoom with her beforehand, and around like 36, 37 weeks.
Yeah.
So everything was like fresh in your mind. And she does that intentionally as we're going into that phase.
Love that.
And I had read the books and done all this stuff, but it wasn't until we sat in that class with her and she really went through truly the anatomy of it all and what was happening that I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's what we're talking about when right. the book said that. And that, and I remember leaving it and truly feeling like empowered to give. I was like, let's go. Like, yes. I'm going to be so good at this.
I am woman.
Like, no, literally. Yes. Like, literally, like being yeah. like, all right, let's go. And yeah. and I really did view it like I was training for a marathon, like yeah. training for the big event. Yes. And how can I prepare my body best? How can I set myself up for success? And a part of that is like educating yourself, just like you would for a race. What yes. are the things, the proper things to be using and doing throughout it? So
it is an event like a race, like quite literally yeah. an event of endurance and sustained endurance. And you really have to think about like what you're feeding your body all throughout pregnancy, of course, but it's a lot. And I, did you know that you couldn't eat anything during labor?
So I don't remember if I knew it or not, but it's a really good, it's an important point.
Yeah.
Especially if you're induced.
Yeah.
You because can't it eat. Can take a really, really long time.
Yeah. Yes. Very friggin' long.
Yep. Yeah. There's yeah. so many things that you just don't know that are really important to educate yourself on prior. And like not rushing to the hospital if your situation allows you to do that, right? And having a nice meal before you get there, but not too heavy of a meal. Because
right.
if it's too heavy, that's not going to make you feel great either. You don't want to exactly. be like burping up a Caesar salad wrap the entire time that you're giving birth.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Gatorade in the room, which was really, really helpful for me because you're allowed to drink or mm-hmm. I don't know. Yes. Most people, I think, are allowed to drink. But like a race, I had my Gatorade and it really, really helped.
It so helped. In terms of having Gatorade in the room, I think that's a great point to start talking about
yeah.
the hospital bag and mm-hmm. like the prep. What do we bring with us and how do we prep for that?
Less is more, folks.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you don't need a lot. The hospital has so, so much. I think the biggest items for me are like what you actually need for you. Mm-hmm. Chapstick was mm-hmm. a necessity, right? Mm-hmm. Like the dryness of the room.
Yes, 100%.
Comfy cozies to change into mm-hmm. afterward. Mm-hmm. Like a button down, cozy, delicious pajama situation.
Yep.
Loose.
Has to be loose. Do your button ups if you need to. You want a nightgown if possible.
Yeah.
Pants might be tough. Or on the other hand, like it depends if you're having C-section, like all these things.
Yes.
But like I stayed in the hospital gown almost for my entire stay.
And
I was in the hospital for 6 days.
Oh, you were.
So like because for me, I found that to be the easiest. I just didn't feel like having to get gross and change. And I changed rooms a bunch of times and it was just like a lot. And yeah. I didn't shower in those that amount of time because I was changing rooms constantly and we just never really got settled.
Right.
And kept thinking maybe we'll go home and then didn't go home. Yeah. So like staying in my hospital gown was like, that was all I was doing. I wasn't putting on, I think until the last day, something better. So like to your point, the less is more. Pack the one cute pair of pajamas that you bought yourself or a nightgown.
Right.
Pack
yes.
the comfy socks, to your point. Those are great
socks,
for sliding
yes.
on and off when you're getting in and out of the bed. There's two kinds of people I can take bets on which one you and I are. My bag was not packed before I was induced. Like, and you know what? Spoiler alert. It was fine.
Exactly.
It was literally fine. I had a list on my phone that I curated based on the few lists that my different friends gave me, the you know, articles you read, and it was so extensive. And of all the things, though, that I packed and I brought, the one thing I tell everyone is your emotional support items.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you need to feel emotionally supported during labor, delivery, and then possibly what comes afterwards?
Yeah.
I loved your scrunchie hack, if you can share that.
Yes.
Like that is – I was just talking about it the other day. I'm obsessed with it.
It's amazing. We really should brand it on the M-Take. I'm
committed.
quarter four. Okay, so I got like essential oils to have specifically for labor, but I have to tell you that I utilize them during postpartum too, which we can save for another time, but I would put the essential oils on my scrunchie. So in the middle of like a really hard contraction, I would sniff my scrunchie and it was just so close to my nose and it just hit the sensory system in the way that I needed to like give me a little bit of a distraction and help me ride the wave.
100%. It's, and anyone who is like an OG, like SoulCycle girly, like either of us, I, to this day, if I need like an energy boost, having grapefruit essential oils nearby is really helpful for me because it reminds me of the SoulCycle candle. And I've had that with me on the scrunchie. And again, like a race day, like something you're training for, between contractions, even between pushing, I was sniffing that. I was giving myself a breath. I was breathing it in. I was getting a burst of energy and it was mentally taking me somewhere else for that hot second.
Huge.
Huge. In addition to that, we will have to link them. I had these amber night lights. I don't know if you sent them to me initially, but I've sent them to other people and gifted them to people. But it's a little night light that I end up using afterwards in postpartum in the baby's room. But it's a little like soft, cushy night light that it's almost like egg shaped and you flip it over.
Yes. Yeah.
And it stays dark. It like turns off if it's flipped over and then you turn it on. But it has this amber lighting. So the hospital lighting is just so harsh.
Yeah.
I had an induction. It was really, really long. Just turning all the lights out and having the little amber lighting.
Love that.
Just to like zen out. And it was good postpartum too. And just setting the mood and the tone. Yeah. I also kept little like pictures, like actual pictures of like I had them of my grandma's and like whatever. Like it just, I really created it to be a true like meditative environment of just like focusing and feeling strength and pulling energies in that I needed, which leads me to probably most importantly, a speaker.
A speaker is essential.
I
absolutely
really
essential.
Leaned into creating playlists. And at the time I was still like, you know, teaching spin and stuff, but creating playlists that were specific to the different phases of labor.
Yes. And you have to share those.
I will. And like when you're in, you know, pushing and it's a pilot, like it was upbeat. It was like we were kicking off a spin class, like, let's go. And a little anecdote on the side. This was for any of my Harry fans, you know, we're talking March of 2022. So you are in the height of Love on Tour, right at the end, right before, like, it is like feral Harry energy times, guys. Like we didn't even know what we had then. And I remember, you know, most of my playlist at that point is really just like Taylor and Harry. And Court and I, who's everyone knows if you listen, we're like, she's my Harry girly. We were joking that I was like, I want her to come out to daydreaming my daughter.
And her big debut.
Literally. And we would say, and forgive me if I already said this on the pod, but like we would literally say, like, if anyone knows Harry, like he comes out to daydreaming for the most part during Love on Tour. He arises from the center of the stage and you're just waiting to see what he's wearing, right? Like, what is he wearing? So we're saying, I'm like, I'm envisioning like I'm just pushing and all of a sudden she's going to come out and they're going to hold her up and it's going to be like, what is she wearing? she did not come out to daydreaming. She came out to a Taylor Swift song. I forget which one. And Mike was like singing along at one point.
Oh my God.
And the doctor had to like tell him like because he lost track of counting because he was singing to Taylor. Anyway,
he's keeping the vibes. He was full hype crew. He understood your assignment that day.
He was. Since we've gotten past, we've kind of gone into the during. Let's go into the during a little bit more.
I have two more.
Sorry. Go.
No, that's okay. I just, super quick. Yes. A bag of snacks that you want afterward. So important. Like I wanted Cape Cod chips. I wanted Sour Patch watermelons, like anything like that, like bring them because then you're going to take them with you to the postpartum unit and you have that to snack on throughout. So like that was a part of my emotional support item too.
Yes.
And face care.
Yes.
Feeling like, again, this is more like postpartum, but it's in like the emotional support items. And I actually used the Mario Badescu like rose water spray during labor just to like cool me off. Again, smells really good. anything that just like makes you feel good from a skincare perspective, pack it in your bag.
100%. That is, and to be really concrete here, I had separately packed a plastic pouch that was my emotional support items. So like when I needed to ask Mike to go grab my stuff, like that was exactly, and it had the chapstick, the facial spray, everything, and it carried you through because it is a long time and you start to feel crusty, and you, if you have an epidural, you can't get up and walk around and go brush your teeth or do whatever. So like just, you know, I had mints, I had the lip balm, the facial spray, all of that stuff is so important. And the snacks, you don't know what time you are giving birth. By the time we got to the postpartum room, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. There was nowhere that we could get food.
Yeah, so like, he needs a snack.
You need snacks. You need to make sure that you have food on hand.
Yeah, yeah. We'll post pictures too of like our experiences. I'm sure we have some that we can put up. So, okay, yes, let's keep it going.
During the things that
they don't fucking tell you.
Yes.
With a G, by the way. With a G.
With a G. But,
yeah, the things they don't tell you. I mean, a lot. I have said this before, but like your birth story really will be an episode in and of itself when we want to go down that route. Yeah. But there's, it's race day. Like nothing new on race day. I always say that from a running perspective. Like you don't want to try something new on race day. Use the water bottle that you've been using for the past 40 weeks. Bring that with you, you know? I love your language of the doctor is important. Can you say that part? Because I'm obsessed. Oh, yeah. The doctor is so good.
The doctor is important. The nurses are your QB. They are the quarterback.
They sure are.
Your nurses are going to be, and the great news is nurses change. They shift over. So anyone, most people have been through this. They understand that like they might have had an okay nurse and then a great nurse. Usually you walk away with that one nurse, that one nurse in your stay that like did amazing. But they are the ones that are going to be working with you and through this throughout the entire process. Your doctor rolls in. I don't care if you did all the research in the world, if everyone's recommended this doctor, if they're the top doctor in Manhattan at the top place, it doesn't effing matter. I'm telling you right now, there are other people that are giving birth. Their job is to come in, check you, make sure you're moving along, and then move on to the next patient. The nurses are there to take care of you. It can feel a little anticlimactic. You don't realize, like, if you're blessed to have a typical and healthy delivery, I probably is the best way to say that. Like, the room's like pretty chilled. Like, it's like the doctor's hanging out there, like the nurse is there. Like, it's not this like climatic moment of like, oh my God, there's nurses and doctors everywhere. Things can change. They did for me. But for the most part, it can be kind of anticlimactic when you're sitting there.
It really is. I remember being like, oh wait, this is the room that I'm. The baby's going to come out, like, right here, right on this bed. They're like, yeah, it is. But to that point, though, like, anticlimactic, it can be a long day or days.
Days, yeah.
So, like, you have to think about that mindset of a marathon. Again, of course, there's always someone that's like, nope, it happened in 30 minutes. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Good for you. We were both induced. That wasn't our experience at all. So you really have to be prepared, you know, watch something, watch a couple good movies. Like you're gonna, if you're in a point where your contractions are kind of spaced out still, or you're just progressing a little bit slowly, like, can you play a game with your partner in some, like you want to do stuff to make the time pass because it's a long, long day.
It's a long, long day.
A fun day.
Yeah, it is. No, literally, when I think about people who are about to embark on this, particular people in our lives that made us want to like get this episode sewed out sooner rather than later, I get like nostalgic. I almost get like a little bit of FOMO. Like, ooh. And I know that sounds absolutely insane, no, but it's like, true.
It's so true, Mel. Like, I want to go right now.
Yeah, I know. I like kind of miss it. Is that
when
weird?
You were saying the part before of like it was, you were so empowered and enlightened. Like, I am ready.
Yes.
I'm ready. And it's crazy because like when you go through it, you're like, what?
I know.
This is insane.
I know.
It's but crazy. It's so, you really have to work hard to control your adrenaline because there's a lot pumping through you. And the birthing class that I took, it was like a self-paced class through Positive Birthing Company. It was incredible. And it really equipped me with A, what I mentioned before, like physiologically what's happening to your body, but also how you can help your body labor. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned like adrenaline, she being the person who started the Positive Birthing Company course. I can't recall her name, but you want to work to slow it down. And how do you do that? Like a lot of deep breathing and a lot of just staying centered. So that's really during. It's crazy the things that happen to your body, like the shakes. Yeah. No one told me that.
No. Yeah, it's crazy.
You shake. You could shake uncontrollably.
There's just a lot of times where it kind of goes back to the birth plan thing, but you can walk in with these like really concrete ideas around what things mean and why you want to do them or not do them. Yes. And it's based on either things you read or things you saw on Instagram or how your best friend or sister did it. And I can't stress enough, finding an in-between, finding a perfect middle of advocating for yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
And understanding the facts and also listening to the professionals.
Yes.
I remember having in my head, I don't want to get an epidural until the last possible moment.
Yep.
I want to sit in this for as long as I can. And God bless, I had this incredible night nurse. And I'm sitting there and I'm in so much pain. And she was like, tell me more about why you want to wait. And I tried to conceptualize it. And I was like, well, based on X, Y, Z. And I don't even remember the reasons why. And because all I do remember is the knowledge that she shared as the professional. And she said, think about when you're in pain. What does your body do? And I said, I explained it. Your body tightens up, right? You clench, you tighten. That's why a lot of us have back pain in the winter because we're so cold that we're clenching constantly, right? So when I, for someone like me who is getting induced, I was effectively slowing down the process by being in pain for as long as I was. Mm. She said, if you were telling me you weren't sure if you wanted an epidural, that would be a different conversation. But since you're saying eventually you are going to get one, having one sooner rather than later is only going to benefit you because if you're not in pain, your body will relax. Yes. It will release. And then it will allow your body to do what it needs to do to dilate and open and just having the open mind to do that. And I know a lot of people in my life and on Instagram that like wouldn't have listened to that. And it's so important just to like find that middle, find the middle between what you believe to be true and the research you've done. Advocate it, hold on to it, talk to your partner about it and make sure that you both are aligned on it. But also listen to the professionals because they're there for a reason.
They're there and they have the knowledge. I love that example because it's so true. Like, what's the risk of waiting? What's the benefit of waiting?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, like, it'll help you if you know that that was your path anyway.
That's the point, right?
Right. An unmedicated birth, different story. But, you knew that that's what you wanted, right? And the timing. And that's another example of being able to advocate for yourself in the moment. Like, tell your nurse if you do want the epidural, but you might want to wait, right? Like, and that's okay. But making sure that they know that so they can put the call in for the epidural so then you're not waiting for another hour after that because that happened to me with my first and I learned my lesson.
Another thing they don't tell you.
Exactly.
It's very important. Or there could be a change of shift. Remember the changes of shift. Remember them. Keep an eye on that clock. Okay. I have two really big points I want to drive home.
Amazing.
Okay. Number one, your partner is your chief of staff. Period. Yes. Period. I want you to be the CEO and your partner is your chief of staff. What does a chief of staff do? They amplify the leader's effectiveness of handling the complex strategic and operational tasks, often working behind the scenes to ensure everything runs smoothly.
Mic drop.
Is what your partner is there to do. Mm. So this is during the labor, but specifically also afterwards. Afterwards, baby's here, it's first 24 hours. They should be doing this, I mean, let's be real, the rest of your marriage. But like for right now, the rest of your partnership, for right now, every time that nurse comes in the room and starts telling you things, they are there. They are listening. They are taking notes. They are retaining that information so that when you're like, I have no idea what just happened, I don't remember, that's okay because your partner is there to navigate that for you.
Yes.
Every time the doctor comes in to talk about your options for a medication or this or that, they're coming in to explain your postpartum care. This is the nurses again. The PACs, the this, the that. Have your partner come in the bathroom with you.
Yeah.
Have them listen to that part.
Yes. And so they know.
So that they know. So that when you, however many days from now, you need them to run to CVS or you need them to build you more ice packs. And with the witch hazel, they know how to do that.
Love it.
That is a great job for them.
Yes.
Because you are managing so much as the birthing parent. You both are under a tremendous amount of stress during this transition. It's a lot, but you have objectively more on your plate in this moment. And your body and your mind is going through so much that can make retaining these concrete things extremely overwhelming.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad that you mentioned that so concretely because I feel like, again, bring it back to type A versus type B. This is where you have to lean on the type B. Like the other person, your chief of staff, whoever that is, your partner, has the title of being the gatekeeper of all of that. Because like you said, you just went through a huge marathon. And then you quickly transition to having a baby. And we're going to take on postpartum and talk even more granularly about that very big shift. But I love that way of thinking about it as it relates to labor and delivery because it's one less thing that you have to own as the 100%. Person who just gave birth.
And double clicking on that, and I don't want to end on a scary note because if you've been listening at all in this episode, all you hear is us saying like we would go do it again.
Yes.
And how you can empower yourself and do this. But the reality is you said you just went through a big marathon, right? Which is how we're framing it. Objectively, you just got in a massive car accident. That is actually like your body just went through a massive trauma. And that's if everything went completely typical, healthy, normal pregnancy, labor, delivery. That's despite the fact if there were any complications. If that was the scenario, if this was a massive car accident, would the nurse be coming in the room and telling you everything to be doing? No, they'd be telling your partner, they'd be telling the person that's going to be caring for you. They would be that information with the chief of staff because the expectation is that like you are not in a space to be receiving and retaining that information.
Yeah.
Think of it in that way.
That is fantastic, Mel. I know. Yeah, that's like very sobering to think about, but I think it's a really important perspective as you're talking about that specific time.
Anyway.
And the nursery is there for a reason.
The nursery is there for a reason.
Let's say it a third time because it's worth it. There is no, this is a guilt-free decision. The nursery is there for a fucking reason.
Literally, swallow your damn pride. I don't care who did what, who said what, who made you feel a certain way. I don't care. You are not going to be able to sleep for a very long time, ma'am. Send the baby to the nursery. Get some sleep before you go home.
Get some friggin' sleep.
You were just in a car accident. Get some sleep.
Get some sleep. And if you're feeding the baby, they'll bring the baby back to you.
They sure will.
They will. And they'll turn on that bright friggin' light. Mm-hmm. So get that amber light to make the mood a little less stark.
100%.
Do it. We're not going to tell you what to do. That's not what this space is about. If you are dealing with guilt around, should I send my baby to the nursery? Just remind yourself, what do you need? Is this under your self-TLC umbrella during a time where, like you said, you're covering from a trauma?
Yeah.
My answer was yes.
My answer was yes, too. And my health insurance, they're going to pay for that. They're going to pay for that night nurse while I stay in
Heck
the hospital.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Heck yeah. Right.
This is the most cost-effective night nurse that you can get.
Yes, exactly.
Send it to the nursery.
The potato baby.
The potato baby. Okay.
We could go on and on and on, and we will. We will, I think when we do our postpartum episode, maybe we'll spend even like a little bit more time digging a little bit deeper into the after, because yeah. I also want to talk about like the golden hour, like right when baby comes out, and like all of the things that are happening during that time, I think is important. And then we can dive deeper into like postpartum at the hospital and then when you get home. How's yeah. that?
Yeah. 24 hours.
Yeah.
48 hours, 72 hours, 1 month.
Exactly. Love it. The fourth trimester, if you will.
There we go.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. But I think a mantra to keep in your back pocket, one that really helped me, you can do hard things for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. You can.
You really, really, really can.
It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that you can.
You certainly can. And just remember it. Say it to yourself as you sniff those essential oils off of
off of your intake scrunchie.
That's right. And that's why I had pictures of my grandmothers with me, because I was like,
I love that.
They did this.
Yes.
And then my mom did it and my mother-in-law did it. And that's why I'm able to sit here and do it right now.
Let's go. Let's like, go to labor and delivery.
We
right
all
now.
Did it. They all did it. They've been doing it. You can do it too.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great.
All right. Well, I love you continued. So much. We're 6 minutes over. Love ya, love ya, love you. You all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram. Let us know what you're taking on and we'll take it on for you. You shouldn't have to do it alone. Love ya, love ya, love ya.
Love ya so much, Toodles.
Give yourself a smooch.
Give yourself a smooch. Toodles.